Earlier, as we were singing, in Christ alone, we sang these words, no guilt in life, no fear in death, this is the power of Christ in me. From life's first cry to final breath, Jesus commands my destiny. No power of hell nor scheme of man can ever pluck me from his hand. Till he returns and calls me home, here in the power of Christ I stand. That is more than song lyrics. Those are our stories, all of our stories. We get to hear a story this morning. Will you please welcome Harry Grant as he shares with us this morning?
Thank you. Thank you so much. Let me get stuff together. Okay, I think I'm doing all right. Okay. I'm very grateful to be here. And I'm very grateful to see everybody here. This COVID has been a challenge. And I hope that as this season comes to an end, that we as a church found ourselves speaking more of Christ than of COVID. I would like to give thanks to God Almighty for allowing me this day and this opportunity to speak before you. I would also like to thank Pastor David for allowing me to be here, as well as the leadership. Congratulations to the new elders and the leadership. I also would like to thank my host, I would like to thank my host, Tim Scott, and his wife, Karen, for providing for us and my wife just beautiful resort-style accommodations. Sorry I took so long to get here. I am one who had to do the going through the wilderness routine before I got here. Not only that, but you know Pastor David's not just going to let anybody come up here. If you have your Bibles handy, I would like for you please to turn with me to the book of Matthew chapter 25, verses 34 to 40. I'm not going to take up too much of your time, but I will just try to bring out some practical application and at the same time give my testimony. We better pray. Father, thank you so very much for this day that you have made. We will and will continue to rejoice and be glad in it. It is my prayer, Lord, that you would get me out of your way, that the story, that the words, that the witnesses would be able to be clear, and that your name would be lifted high above all. We thank you that you are the God of freedom, and it is in your Son Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. In 2007, I was in New Folsom State Prison, Represa, California. It was my seventh year of a 17-year sentence. I was invited to go to Kairos Weekend. I was very reluctant because I, one, didn't ever hear about that before, and two, I was just kind of, you know, skeptical about it. But needless to say, I went. And what I experienced there, what I came in contact with, was a people who showed me the love of Christ that I not only didn't know, but really wouldn't even think to know. For 3.5 days, Kairos men will come into our prison, sit with us, talk with us, get us to sing, get us to pray, get us outside of ourselves and outside of those walls, and experience a crash course in pure Christian fellowship. Prison ministries don't necessarily follow up once they come in. In my experience, they come, they may stay for a while, but then other things happen, other opportunities present themselves, and then they go. But the distinguishing factor about Kairos is that they were the only prison ministry of their kind that I know, and still know, that continued month after month, year after year after year, to come back and to check on us. Skip ahead 7 years and I'm in Blythe, California, Ironwood State Prison. With 3 years left on my sentence, and guess what? Kairos is there too. Kairos was there too. The scriptures of Matthew 25 are now beginning to take on human form for the past 14 years of my life. Lord, would you please bless your word? I'll be reading from the New King James. Verse 34, 35, 36. Then the king will say to those on his right hand, come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me. According to Ellicott's commentary on the Greek, you blessed of my Father is actually translated, you blessed ones who belong to my Father. This declaration is for specific people, a people who have already been involved in kingdom building business, whether knowingly or unknowingly. Kairos does not do what they do on their own steam. It is a sanctified collaboration requiring a servant's heart. Kairos allows the Holy Spirit to work out what God has already worked in, inside prison systems. For I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you took me in. This passage furnishes 6 out of the 7 corporal or bodily works of mercy in Christian ethics, the 7th being found in the care and the nurturing of the fatherless. The scriptures do not state whether these mercies were done only one time, over time, or all at once. Acts 20, verse 35 tells me that the Lord has told, it is more blessed to give than to receive. It is more blessed or more better to give than to receive, because before you gave it, you had to first have to have it. Time, energy, food, clothes, shelter, money. Cambridge commentary states this. The first 3 are recognized duties. The last 3, the clothing, the visiting the sick and those who are in prison. The last 3 are voluntary acts of self-forgetting love. Common humanity would move a man to relieve his bitterest foe with giving him a drink or something to eat. Oriental custom requires at least a bare hospitality. But to clothe the naked implies a liberal and loving spirit. To visit the sick is an act of spontaneous self-sacrifice. To go to the wretched outcast in prison was perhaps an unheard of act of charity in those days. It was to enter a place, a horrible and foul smelling place beyond description. I'm trying to share what Kairos does and testify at the same time. Verse 36 says, I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came to me. One can almost forget that the subject we are reading about in this list of unfortunate conditions was a king and not some wayward soul suffering these hardships, or some irresponsible troublemaker that God has come up in instead of his lordship. Now, I'm not going to stand up here and try to convince you all that the same things that happened to this man are the same things that happened to me. But you'd have a hard time proving otherwise. Hungry, thirsty, stranger, sick and in prison. I'm trying to share what Kairos does and at the same time testify. I think it is only right here that I establish that one of the main reasons that I and my wife were invited to come to your lovely sanctuary is to introduce you to a God that we all serve through my experience, through my eyes, and through my life. Another side of the God we all serve. My testimony is that this God that we all serve actually serves us. He served me. In Kairos' service to the king, they actually ended up serving me. John the Revelator said in Revelations 12:11 that we triumph over or defeated him, the enemy of our soul, by 2 things: the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. Jesus has done his part. He shed his blood for the remission of my sins so that I could testify. Shame on me if I don't. Shame on me if I don't. Tell you about how I grew up in an ungodly family only to come to know God the way that I do now.
Shame on me if I do not speak about how the good work that he started in me before the guns, the drugs, and the felonies, he is completing. God is not a man that he should lie, Pastor David, nor a son of man that he should repent. Has he said, and will he not do? Or has he spoken, and will he not make it good? Numbers 23:19. Shame on me if I don't speak about how he has always had somebody in my life to show me his love. Kairos. Or how he gave enough of everything it took for me to get to right here, right now. About how he saved my future victims from falling prey to the hands of a madman, where sin did abound, grace did much more abound. Shame on me if I don't speak about how Jesus never left me nor forsake me before, during, or after my 17 years, 3 months, and 11 day prison sentence. Or how Kairos prison ministry already existed before I got into prison. They were right there where I was to show me Christ, to love on me, to sit with me, a stranger, give me cookies, the bread of life for my hunger, Kool-Aid and sodas and the living water because I was thirsty, minister to my soul when it was homesick. They helped to clothe me in my right mind when I was thinking opposite. Shame on me if I don't testify about how I served 14 years on a maximum security prison without a scratch. And then when I did get a scratch, God softened my heart, and instead of wanting to retaliate, he changed the atmosphere so that one of the same men that would have tried to assassinate me, I was able to take him by the hand and lead him in a prayer of salvation. And 1 week later, baptize him in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Shame on me if I don't come up here and tell you that how every single second that I have been out of prison has been an answer to prayer. Every single second that I have been out of my addiction has been an answer to prayer. How 3 months after I was released from prison, I would meet a woman that God prepared for me who would later be my wife. And a young girl I would later have the honor, and I do mean honor, of calling my daughter. And how that same woman on July 19th of this year will give me a son. Shame on me if I don't get up here and testify. If I don't speak about how my life is amazing. And how God has orchestrated it lovely. How he loves me. And he has given me his son to prove it. He gave me hope. He gave me a future. He gave me a family. He gave me a church. He gave me a ministry. He gave me a career. He gave me a chance to come up here and do what I was going to do anyway. I hope I'm in the right place this morning. I'm still, to this day, given drink, given clothes. People are still coming to visit me, still assisting and helping me. I am an accumulation of the outstretched hand of God Almighty using you. Before I even got up here, your gracious pastor had to help me get my tie right because I'm a work in progress. But that's okay. You bless ones who belong to my Father. Thank you. Because I was in prison, and you came to me. There are only a few places in the Bible that I found where our Savior expresses such an intimate level of abiding that when the action takes place, he actually claims that it happened to him. After the resurrection and ascension of our Savior, Saul of Tarsus in Acts 26:13-14 speaks about his experience on the Damascus Road after much persecution of those of Christ. At midday, he said, O king, I saw in the way a light from heaven above the brightness of the sun shining round about me and them which journeyed with me. And when we were all fallen to the earth, I heard a voice speaking unto me and saying in the Hebrew tongue, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? Not the church, not the disciples, me. We do not serve a God who is far off, but has chosen, according to the text. And I appreciate it if you hear me on this. We serve a God who is not far off, but according to the text of Matthew 1:34 on, he has chosen, according to the text, to hide himself deep within the community of the hungry, the disconnected, the naked, and the prisoner. I'm trying to share what Kairos does and at the same time testify. Before I took myself to prison, the King of Kings already made arrangements. What a Jesus. What a Jesus. Matthew 25, verse 34 speaks about the Father's inheritance prepared for us from the foundation of the world. I was in prison and you came to me. I will close with this. Listen, Kairos. Listen, church. Is there anybody who has participated in the Kairos ministry here today? Would you please stand for me and for your church, please? Matthew 25, verse 37 to 40 says this. Then the righteous will answer him, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? When did we see you a stranger and take you in, or naked and clothe you? And the king will answer and say, I'm going to read that again. The righteous will answer him, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, thirsty or give you drink? When did we see you a stranger and take you in, or naked and clothe you? Or when did we see you sick or in prison and come to you? And the king will answer and say to them, assuredly I say to you, inasmuch as you did it to one of the least of these, inasmuch as you did it to Harry, the least of my brethren, you did it to me. Clark, Karen, Tim, Karen, Gordon, Beverly, Paul, John. If there's anybody here whose names I have not mentioned, Don Hobley, Velma. That's my mother's name. Men and women of Kairos, past, present, and future. Church, on behalf of the ones that Christ spoke of, thank you. You blessed ones of my Father. You may be seated. It is no small thing what your congregation does. I had them stand so that you might be able to identify who it is that is among you. Not by and by, but right now. These people have sowed into me and into my life and allowed me to be the man that you see standing before you today. I just want to take a quick step back so you can see what a miracle looks like. I am a miracle. I can go on and on about how these same people to this day still pour into my life without fail and without fault. I would love to be able to speak with some of you after the service. But until then, let me pray. Father, it is my heart's desire that I do right by you. And in attempting to do right by you, I fail. Lord, and in my failing is when you are your best. You have brought me here to give a word, the same word that these people gave to me so many years ago, that within me it benefited 30, 60, and 100-fold for your glory. Let them see. Let them know. Let them bear witness. And let us all give thanks. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thank you. At this time, we'll be having the choir come back up.